So I got off the couch today for you guys, and I grew some hair. We're talking General Hospital next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There we go. Oh my goodness. We are here, you guys. We are here. We are here. We are here. It's the General Hospital After Show, the GH Report. I'm your host, James Law Jr., and that was, like, really blunt. Like my talking sometimes. You can follow me at James Law Jr. on all social media platforms, everywhere in the whole universe online, James Law Jr. Next to me is the hostess with the mostest, Lucretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Lacretialyon, since there is only one.
And the... See, I started choking when I'm about to say his name. It's crazy. Frank Moran.
I know it's unflattering on the tongue. Right? Yeah, you don't like that. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter if you want. Happy Go Jackie.
Oh, my God. You guys, so we are here. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. So I want to ask you guys, how was your Thanksgiving, you guys? What did you guys do?
I went to my friend's house and ate with her ex-husband's family. It was at least made me feel at home.
I guess your friend's ex-husband. So your friend and ex-husband are friends still, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. And the family, obviously, they're friends. That's kind of funny.
It's weird.
And Frank Moran?
I just watched the little one fall asleep right away and then eat some okay cheese risotto and then watch the baby wake up and then stay up all night. So that was kind of
fun. Did you watch the dog show?
No.
I love the dog. I watched the Macy's Parade and then I watched the dog show. I love it afterwards.
What about football? My Cowboys play and they won their 10-1 and Eric Church was the halftime show, guys. Like, seriously, it was good.
My team won two Steelers, mm-hmm. but the Cowboys are not a big fan. But anyway, that's another show. I know, but I'm going to Canada. You love Canada.
I do.
My Thanksgiving was good. Thanks for asking. Nobody asked.
They did ask in the chat.
They did. Yeah. Oh, you asked me. Oh my God, thank you. Okay, so you said the sound quality sounds weird. It does sound weird in my ears too today. What's going on? But maybe it's just us. Okay, so you guys, how was my Thanksgiving? It was rough at first because it was my first Thanksgiving without my brother, so that was kind of weird. I was waiting for him to bust through the door and be loud and be like, "I'm here," and didn't happen. If it was, it'd be a soap. It would have happened. But we had good game hens. We only turkey, so we had game hens. I made them, and I ate when in coma, and I emerged today.
Wow, nice.
So it was good. It was kind of good.
You didn't take advantage of Black Friday.
Ugh, no. Yeah. Had no desire at all.
Who does that? It's so scary.
I don't know who do. I don't know who do.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, just for a TV for $200? I'm like, that's okay.
I already have a 4K TV. Yeah. I'm good.
Oh, well. Somebody's a Rockefeller on this panel.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Rockefeller.
$500 on Groupon last year, guys. So I'm not a baller.
You got that loot crate stuff that comes to you, too. I always love that. I should look on there and see if there's anything that I would possibly would want to get in a box.
Well, use B-U-Z-Z. We'll plug you loot crate on this show, though we don't have a live read. But yeah, to save $3 on your next subscription.
Yeah. Do you have stuff for Buffy?
That one's free. That? Yeah, there's a whole Firefly crate.
Oh, there is? Okay. And speaking of Firefly, Ron Harris died this weekend. Who played, who else was in Barney Miller and on Firefly. People know him for Firefly, and he was great.
Ron Glass.
Thank you. Well, there you go. Right. You got it.
Hopefully the other Ron did not pass away.
Ron Harris is still alive, please try. I've been writing jokes, too. I was telling her the other day I've been writing jokes. I wrote like 5 jokes so far.
Oh, good. Yeah, I told you I can get you in a show.
Yeah, give me a show. Yeah. I want you to stand up one day.
Are we going to be seeing you at Flappers and Burbank soon?
That's where I love to perform.
I'm scared to death. That's why I want to do it.
You know? I'm scared to death. I find that...
Is that weird?
That is so, yes.
I'm not scared of anything. I'm scared of stand-up.
Wow.
So I'll show you my trick.
Did you show your trick?
Drink beer, smoke a bowl.
She's a professional.
Works every time. Every time.
If you just set the stage to be like an AfterBuzz TV set where you've got the headphones and the microphone on, and then if you're like, hey, we're just talking about live.
Yeah, we can ask Steve if we can borrow a microphone and these headphones, like, because we've got to have these.
Yes.
These sexy headphones.
The headphones.
That way you feel most comfortable.
So, Mark, you're saying the sound sounds weird out there. Everybody's saying.
Sounds lovely on my end.
Yeah, I'll double check though. Yeah, it sounds okay on our end too. So you guys are saying you can't really hear us, or is something going on? Because I don't want to talk for an hour. You can't hear us.
All your levels are great.
Yeah, I was like, I agree. It sounds not. Everybody says it sounds not right. Well, we're gonna keep talking. Hopefully, it's gonna get better. Whatever's going on with you guys. Hopefully, it's not too bad.
The streaming.
Okay, so let's. I've got my notes. So Frank, tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I guess you know we only have 3 days this week, of course, because of the holidays. Yes. So it gives us a chance to really dive into some of these stories. So I figure. Which I think is probably the biggest one this whole week, is the Alexis and Julian story.
Okay, I saw somebody here say, are you ready to quit this show because they had Alexis run over somebody else?
Man, you know, it's like watching this kind of play out during the course of the week, seeing her kind of, I guess you really kind of see now how deeply, you can see why she was drowning the pain of alcohol, this whole thing that went with Julian, somebody that she really loved, but now you can kind of see like, there were like less thinking about like her being threatened by him, but finding how much she misses him as Thanksgiving rolls around. I feel like they're slowly trying to plant those seeds, almost like I can think like a modern day Luke and Laura, where it's like some kind of horrible incident that happens in a relationship, and yet they're going to try to see can they still be together and try to justify their love to everyone else around them.
Yeah, because arguably what Julian did is not worse. Yeah. Than Luke. And the thing is in this moment, Julian was trying to do the right thing. He's like, you know, you can lean on me, but I get you don't want to. I'm going to call Sam or Diane, Jax. Yeah. He offered to do anything to try and get her not to drive. I mean, even stood in front of the car. That obviously was his mistake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's weird because Alexis has that moment with Julian where she just says, you know, I do have a problem. I know. I have a problem, and yet still is not willing to seek any help about it. She knows it's not good for her, and she's still willing to just keep going away and keep doing it.
They're like, Frank's mic sounds normal, and he did it on purpose.
That is correct. Yeah. There's only one person you need to be listening to today, and that is me.
Frank, I'll mute your mic. I ain't afraid.
Oh, yeah, because I'm muffled, too.
Man, we're both muffled. Hey, Frank said Frank is clear, but me and Rakisha are muffled. That's so funny. We don't tell you guys. We're really sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
But yeah,
it's been muted.
I told you I wasn't afraid.
He did it. He totally did it.
So funny. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, hopefully, guys, just stay patient. We don't know what's going on. It sounds fine to us. So we don't know what's going on. They're trying to work on it, but Frank's clear. So there you go.
That's right.
So hopefully, you'll hear what I'm saying. If you don't watch the playback, my thought process. I kind of laughed.
I did too.
She went in the car. I was like, okay, she's going in the car. She's been drinking. They put them together. She couldn't sit. She couldn't sit and have a meal with her family long enough to like, you know. So to me, it made me laugh.
But she really drove far out of town to get to that booze. Like, you think, like, if your whole family is right there, so the chances of anybody coming across you, and pretty good assumption that everybody's going to be with their loved ones, you could go to the Floating Rib. I think it's going to be just fine. But no, let's just keep cruising out of town to get to our new bar set that we have.
Yeah, the new bar set, yes. The new barkeep or whatever, yes, and everything. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really, I don't hate it or like it either way. I'm just like, they're trying to rehabilitate him. That's the whole point. They're trying to rehabilitate, like you said, rehabilitate Julian. So they're trying to find ways to do that. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just like, okay.
But do you like the idea of trying to reconcile him with Alexis?
No, I don't want them back together. I think they ruined him already.
Yeah.
Alexis is dead to me already.
But it feels like now they're trying to make it seem like, well, now she really misses him and really loves him. And that's why she's certainly drinking to dull the pain. So you almost get the feeling that they're trying to set it up at a point where they could come back together. And I find it such a hard stretch to me see.
I keep saying Alexis, and she says it, she said it too a couple times, she's allowed to drink. Her man tried to kill her. I'd be drinking a little bit too. I'm trying to get over that.
Yeah, but the DTs that they had her do, like just thinking about the booze and not drinking it, that was comical. And a lot of people, so they laughed too, especially when Julian got hit with the car. Like, it was funny.
Oh, yes, we do have a troll in here.
I fixed it.
You fixed it? Okay, good. King of Kiwanis. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. Jewel wakes up with no memory. That'd be kind of funny, Michael B., right? Yeah. Wakes up with no memory.
I bet they're going that way.
It was funny. To me, I actually liked their get-together. I liked the people who came. That was kind of funny. Any excuse to bring Curtis. You know,
that's what I was getting. Yeah, you're getting it. Curtis showed up.
Mm-hmm. He was on all the 3 days. I was very happy. So I was very much like, it was kind of funny when everybody comes in with alcohol. It was very realistic. They come in, I brought this, and I brought that. And who knew that the Maddox family had a concoction that they make every
year? That's right. Look at the Maddox.
He said a whiskey and he said of amaretto. Have you ever had that before together?
I've never had Amarillo with
whiskey together. Yeah. I never had it together.
You didn't try it afterwards after you saw that episode?
I don't have any Amarillo.
Me either. I have whiskey. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of whiskey.
But yeah, I was like, me too.
I had no Amaretto, but I was like, it must taste really sweet, I guess. Kind of sweeter. Yeah,
because Amaretto tastes like cherries. It's always delicious. But
so, yeah, it's like cherry whiskey, maybe.
You just put it in tea, is what I know.
Yeah, you put it in tea, hot toddy and everything. But I guess, my just like funny is the Maddox family, I'm like, oh, we don't even know your family, so that's fine.
Nice. Well, is that going to become the official drink of the GH report?
We could do that.
Did he give it a name?
He did.
Yeah.
You guys, what was the name of the drink? You guys remember the name of the drink? Because I forgot I was going to say it, and I forgot what it was.
It was something very, whoa, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And him and Christina. And I love that Curtis is meeting people. I forget that he doesn't know everybody. It's very realistic. He doesn't know everybody. So he's meeting, he only knew Molly. That was it, of that group, kind of. So he's meeting people, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he's meeting Christina, and they're back there making the drinks and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay.
I just want to talk a moment about the great Davis Thanksgiving. But how, Jordan, the way they're writing her. She's just got zero tact.
Yeah.
Like, she comes in like, oh, gosh. Like, last week at the funeral where she just stands up there and starts like, are you confessing to the murder of your son? Then to this one, it's like, hey, remember when you blew it on the stand? Jeez Louise, Jordan, come on.
The Godfather. That's what it was called. The Godfather. I laughed at that, too. The Godfather. I did laugh at that. Thank you, Sarah C. At least you can hear what you say for the drinks. I like that part. It's Jordan. Well, actually, I'm glad she's on the screen, so I'm happy to have her on the screen. So I'm not going to complain about her too much because she's not the worst written of all of them at all. So I will give her points that she's in the mix of things.
Yeah, I just don't really get it. Like, because when Jordan first came on, I really loved her character. Yeah. I love Vanessa. I'm just not sure why they have to write her like such a bitch.
Well, you know, and the fact that she spent a lot of her career undercover, so she knows that there are certainly lots of gray areas to work around. So for her to all of a sudden be like so black and white now, just gets really irritating.
And it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I get her thing with Curtis because she's just angry because she wants to have sex with him. Like, I understand that logic. Her deal with Alexis? It's like, leave the drunk lady alone. She's had some time here. Let her be.
They're agreeing with you in the chat room. It's always been annoying. I said, I don't mind her so much. For me, I don't mind her so much. So I'll be the devil's advocate. Doesn't bother me too much. She dresses nice. They always have her looking good.
Yeah, oof. You know, the other thing, too, is like, you know, I don't know, part of me thinks like Sam realizes how much her mother's struggling with all this.
Yes.
So to have everybody just come waltzing in the house and for her to a boy say like, hey, guys, maybe we put the bar like out of eyesight. Just let's do that. No, there's no like, hey, Alexis, I'm sorry. I know this is kind of awkward. You must be struggling. Don't worry. Let's do something else to distract you. It's like, hey, guys, just keep pouring these Godfathers.
I'm sorry. You know what? It is the holidays. I'm going to drink. Sorry, buddy, don't drink. It's your problem, not mine.
That's my family. It's like booze is like the main course.
You say me, it's the same thing. I'm like, hello, booze and gravy. Those are the two things we have at our house. Yes, Jordan is sexually frustrated. You know, that's right, girl, Cheryl. And she's near, what's his name? Oh, my God, I'd be frustrated, too.
Well, I mean, you see, of course, Maddox's face. As soon as Curtis walks in, he's like, what the
heck? I hate that.
I love it, though.
It is funny.
Give me a good triangle. I'll take it. And then add Anna, and then give me a good quadrangle. I'm in. Yeah. I'm all in.
You know, and for, because then there's a little bit of tension between Curtis and Jordan, and then Andre at the end figuring out, like, when he called her back in the office, and Andre picks up. But I didn't think, like, that was much of a scene for them to be making such a big beef about this right now.
No, I mean, if I were Andre, I'd be like, well, I forgot. Well, I'm a shrink. I have things, important things to do. I'd counter it with, like, that ain't my problem.
Cheryl, I agree with you. Someone needs to have sex with Curtis. I totally agree. Yeah. It's all going to waste. It's just walking around going to waste. I agree.
Well, speaking of Curtis, I mean, he said on all 3 days.
He was. So, actually, he was on,
Couple great moments. Yes. One, let's just talk about him. Finn, of course, reaching out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go visit Hayden. But what I loved is Tracy's look on Curtis as Curtis is there. And just standing there like this disbelief, like, who is this man?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Why is he here?
Loved it. Loved it. I was going to mention that. I love that Tracy was like, because they hadn't met before either, really. Yeah. And she's just like, the whole time she's like, Jane Elliott's so good. She's so good. And he was like, Miss Quartermain, Mr. Ashford. Just like, and I just love it. And I love that they remember that he's friends with Finn, they're friends, and with Hayden. I love that they were back in the same room together. I was like, yes. I mean, and when Hayden lit up when she saw him, I thought it was so great. I was like, yes, that was her first person in the city that she knew.
Her first friend. Her first I know. Friend. And it was so sweet of Finn to like think of him and yes. bring him there. And then Tracy this week was just amazing.
Yeah, she was. I totally agree. On all levels. She was good all this week too, on all levels. But I liked that scene. It was just really cute together. You could tell that those actors get along fine. And Rebecca Budding's just great. And the question of, and so I thought it was a great scene with all four of them together, because I'm liking that she's living in the Quartermain house right now, because of course Tracy, she kind of cares about Hayden too.
Yeah,
she's trying to play it off.
She likes her.
She's always liked her. She's just trying to play it off. And Finn, and she's, and Tracy's loving needling Finn about how he feels about it. It's like a friend would do. You needle your friend. Yeah. About what you would love that. So I think I love that.
What I liked was the tail end of that scene when Curtis first comes in and Finn takes Tracy to leave. And as she goes, well, I guess I'll check with Monica. Are you sure? I thought Monica owned
the,
wasn't
the house. Yeah. 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 So it was my house. Yes. Like, are you sure you talked to Monica? I love the, to me, that never gets old. I love it. I always love that. It's Monica's house, everybody.
Alan
gave it to her. That's right. I love it. But no, I thought it was a great scene. And I thought they were friends. So it makes sense that he would call her in and try to play off like, do you have any business for me? It's like, now you know you worried about me. And that's kind of cool. That was a very cool scene. Realistic.
Yeah. What do you think the odds are that she has the Finn sickness?
Well, I'm trying to stay neutral and to see, because it's actually forcing him to actually try to find a cure. Now he's really motivated. It's more than him. And so I'm choosing to look at this storyline. So I'm hoping that he finds a cure and it ends the storyline for everybody.
Oh, please, yeah.
And then you're ready.
Yeah, there are so many more things that you can do with those characters than have this disease still saddled to them. Oh, my goodness, it's just driving me crazy.
Yeah, unless this is part of some greater arc to bring Robin back into the fold somehow, I really am just like, end. Done. I don't care who's sick. Just not be sick and start the storyline over.
For me, like I said, I don't mind. I'm going to be devil's advocate again today. I'm just going to be like, okay, if it keeps her in the Quartermain house, I'll take it.
That
more scenes
good.
With Tracy, more scenes with Finn, more scenes with Curtis, I will take it. But hopefully, I do agree, hopefully that this will accelerate the story where he actually finds the cure because he's trying to save her. And then they fall in love and together.
Oh, look at that. What I do like, though, is that when they play backgammon, the bet is that it's just a favor. And so he wants her to Tracy to ask Hayden to stay at the Quartermain Mansion. And I thought that was just a nice little touch there. And even but Hayden is still reluctant to accept that. It's like, you're just using this just to just point out and rub it in my face that I don't have a home.
Yes. I love it.
Fun.
And also, Cheryl, we'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. Why it made me cry. Robin was on Michael B. and they didn't use her.
Yeah.
Right. They brought her on for a couple of days.
I know.
They didn't, and she had to leave before the funeral. They didn't really use her.
Like, yeah, it's like the one scene with Sunny was great, and then it's always nice to see her with the Anna Griffin unit, but still, it's like, she can fix this.
Yes, she's Robin.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, because I was reading the publicity heading up to her appearance, like, oh, she's coming back here to be involved in a major story. I'm like, what she did with Sunny, it was like that. It was so repetitive because there have been so many encounters with other people like that. It's like that really wasn't anything important, at least to me.
But the reverse, when we talk about Jax, I will say they're doing it right on that one. That's another story. I'll do that one.
But if we're talking about the other thing that I enjoyed about Curtis is that we talked about last week, hopefully maybe getting involved more with Jason and Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Somebody in here said the same thing. I actually will agree with you guys. I like Curtis and Jason and Sam working together.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And this could actually revitalize their story that we've been being trolled about, basically.
All the time.
Yeah.
We're all going to get it all the time.
You know.
Yes.
We didn't make them boring, guys.
We sure didn't at all. But no, I agree with you. I think this is really good. And I think they totally should continue that and kind of, because Jason and Curtis are kind of, you know, they don't really want to work together. Not at all. But they have to kind of, and begrudgingly have to work together. I like that.
And that's Jason ever since he became Jason Morgan again. He's begrudgingly Jason Morgan. So this makes sense for what he's been doing.
Yes.
And even though he may not initially like Curtis, I have a feeling that they could develop a good friendship, because it seems like he is impressed that Curtis is just seeking the truth. He's not doesn't have an agenda. He just wants to find out what really went down, for better, for worse, or whoever may be to blame for this.
And he would just be such a better bro than Sonny. Johnny's just so melodramatic now. Yes. Oh, my son died, and it's kind of my fault.
So, you guys, I want to take you guys out there just a little. If you guys are just tuning in, yeah, there's somehow it sounds like our me and Lucretia's sound is kind of weird, but Frank is clear.
We want to
thank you guys who are in here saying you're true fans. So you're sticking through the sound, so thank you very much. We appreciate that. I just thought I want to make acknowledge that we were saying that.
I have a feeling that it's because you guys like me a lot.
Oh, God. Yeah. As Michael B says, yes, please, LaCree. Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. Do you guys like Frizz? We actually talked about that 2 weeks ago.
I do. She does. Yeah.
I don't, but she does. And I don't forget what you feel about that. Indifferent?
Frank doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if they do something different, if it becomes another where they get together and then all of a sudden Franco becomes Franco and then they end up breaking apart because of that, then I feel like after so many times doing that with Franco that he's got – there's got to be a different spin on this relationship this time.
So he's open to it, obviously.
I'm not open to it, but I'll – you know, whatever. I mean, it's not terrible. It's – boy, what – damn it with faint praise.
Sure. So can you all use Frank's mic?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I can't all fit on that side. I'm a little big. No. It'll happen. Nothing against Kelly Monica or Billy Miller, but Jason and Sam should get a deadly disease. They have a chance of a decent storyline.
Yeah.
Annie –
Oh no, God. I mean, again, we've talked about this many times. It's not the actors. No. It's just what the writers had chosen to give those actors to do. And it's not been an exciting thing for the I'm sure the actors or the characters to see doing just sitting there.
Daniela, I'm with you. I miss Nina and Franco together. Sorry, I'm a Franco-Nina fan. So.
Yeah, I like them. I actually like this makes me like Elizabeth.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But yeah, I like this storyline for her because this is the Elizabeth that I liked that was with Lucky and with AJ. I always liked her with bad guys other than Lucky.
Yeah.
Like Rick, AJ, I liked those. Okay. So I'm I like it.
Okay. So it's supposed to scooch together.
Now, what little you've seen of the Valentine and Nina scenes, does it get you excited by the prospect?
Yeah, I do. I like them together.
Too. Especially when you've got Charlotte in the mix, too.
Yeah. Yes, you do. And it's just those two great actors. Again, two great actors who hack chemistry. Michelle Stafford and James Patrick Stewart, they have chemistry.
Well, they have chemistry with everyone. So when you put them together, it's just like,
yes. Ooze. Oh, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Amazing.
So, yes.
Speaking of couples reuniting, we also have a special ceremony that happened to celebrate the holiday. Lulu and Dante, a little impromptu remarriage.
I have one small, it's a small rant.
Lay it on me.
This is very small. Tracy should have been there.
Yes. Yeah, Tracy should have been there because she's been more of a mother to Lulu than Laura in recent years.
I really miss the Lulu-Tracy dynamic. I feel like that hasn't been touched on upon since Anthony Geary left the show.
Yeah.
To have those two in the same orbit together, it was always so great. And I just miss seeing that, especially because that gives also a reason for Laura and Tracy to interact as well. Because in a sense, I mean, Tracy was like another mother, as Lucretia was saying.
Yes.
Yeah, and to me, like the scene a few weeks ago where it was Tracy, Olivia, Laura, you know, all these women love Lulu. You know, why can't we have all of them together more?
Yeah. The show said they should do it at Sonny's. I like that idea.
Oh, no, please.
I had no problem with that, actually. I had no problem with that. Oh, because the family's, because we'll get to Laura and Sonny later, but just, I have no problem with that if they do that. I forgot they were divorced. They were divorced.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, wait, they're not married.
They're not married. Well, for me, I'm just glad it's not a baby storyline, so I'll take it. I'll take whatever you give me with them, because it's not do with babies.
Yes.
So to me, I've been liking Dante a lot right now.
Oh, yeah. Dante is awesome right now.
They're writing him so well with the whole being torn, being the son and a cop. So I'm liking the way he's going. Lulu doesn't have much of a storyline right now anyway. She's whatever. But I really am really, 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 really excited about where this could possibly go with Dante and how that will work with him. So their marriage is fine to me. I have no problem with it. It's fine.
But all right, to backpedal, we're heading back to Jordan again because that irritates me too, because we have the beginning of the scene where Sonny says, hey, you know what, I'm going to lawyer up. I'm going to get Diane to come and take care of me. And to see Jordan, like, this is, again, she's been undercover. She's also been police commissioner several times when Sonny has been kind of the subject of suspicion. And seen how it's kind of played out, and not usually in the poor Charles Petey's favor.
Yeah.
So for her to be just so rigid, and talking to Dante, well, you can't be impartial, so you're off the case. Like, come on, Jordan, you got to just dial it back, because you are not impartial about this either. You've got an agenda as well, and you've seen how it's played out in the past. Like, just make sure you have all your ducks in a row, and then go get them.
Now, they did bring something up. Michael B. brought something up that I kind of agree with, kind of. They probably, you know, they should have been surprise waiting for Maxie and Nathan, maybe.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting. First. Yeah.
I kind of like that. And people are saying to me, you know, Lulu, they haven't been writing anything for her. And Emmy Rodney can act, so I don't know why they're not writing anything for her. Because she can act. I want to see more from her. They're doing such a great job with Dante. Let's spin her off another direction. I mean, like, maybe they're saving it for a little later when Charlotte becomes her daughter.
Yeah, and that's what I was hoping for with this Charlotte being her and Stavros' yes. kid is more adventure with them. But now I'm like, no, I want Nina to have Charlotte. Sorry.
Aww. Mm-hmm. I called it a long time ago. Yeah. I just have this feeling it's a Stavros Lulu baby.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So but maybe they're waiting for that. So there'll be Lulu against Nina, maybe. And just, it'll just be a whole heart-wrenching thing or something. So I don't know. But I don't know. It's fine. Dante wedding, fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just thought Trace should have been there.
Because Lucretia and I talked about this a little bit last week, too, where we think if the Charlotte whole thing comes up and then it's revealed to be Lulu and Stavros' baby, that, again, we have also Nina set up to have a daughter and then taken away again.
I agree. Like,
and then if they do that again with that character, that's just going to get really
well,
irritating.
On Days Are Alive, they did that with this character, Nicole, played by Ariane Zucker. They had her, like, miscarry, like, four times in the show. And it's just like, really? It's like, but now they're having a baby that I think it's hers. It's being a surrogate, so this whole thing. But it's like, this has to be. I feel like, you know, like, you can't do it for a fifth time. Like, she's already done it four times.
Yeah, like Cricket on Y&R. Oh, yes. It's like, you know.
Can never have a kid. Yeah. Around.
It's sad. It's so sad. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, with Nina, we don't want to see her go through the heartache again. I agree with you, the heartache again of that, but make it be a good story. Make it be a good story. So I'm staying open.
Maybe, but it feels like sometimes GH they have like one character aspect of a character, and they just only focus on that.
Yeah.
Like Lulu and Dante with the baby, or Nina with the baby, and then at the expense of like let's do something different with the character.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, please.
GH, I'm hoping. The sound's getting better. Okay.
All right. Look at that.
See? Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Your dulcet tones.
It's making it smoothing it out. Thank you. Hopefully.
We were talking about the Quartermains, of course, Thanksgiving. So we'll dive back to the big, huge tradition of a Quartermain Thanksgiving, and can it be successfully done?
We just wanted to hear a little earlier. I was hoping to keep the pizza thing going. Some folks in here said they were hoping they would have turkey for finally. I was like, no. They shouldn't have. They should never have turkey. It should always be a debacle of some sort. And I was getting nervous. I was like, no, they can't have turkey for real. They can't. I mean, I was getting upset because I'm a soap historian. Yeah. I was like, no. It has to be. And they didn't disappoint. Of course, they did it.
And so. I love how they it was Finn's fault, basically. I'm leaving out this bacteria.
I love it. Yeah. But I have to say, okay, so the scene where Ned puts a plate for Lila and Edward's picture, I cried. And a scene for, we'll talk about it a little later, when Jax makes a speech and Carly and the because for me, like, my brother had passed away, so it was our first Thanksgiving without him. I was telling them before the show. So it was a little close to home for me. It was like a little, like, it was a little too much for me also, because we were missing my brother. So I thought that was a great touch they did that for them. I wish the other pictures were up. Because used to have Alan up and a few others, so I wish they had them up and did a little more. But I like that scene where it's kind of like, here's a plate for you guys. It's just kind of like, there you go.
And to me, was Tracy not so her father with blackmail, taking all their stuff and holding it hostage? I was like, that was so what Edward would have done, and I loved it. And, you know, I love that we could have both of her sons there and Monica.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. But
there was something to see the four of them hug and realize just how diminished the Quartermain family has
become. I know.
Like, this is it?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, because Jason and Michael are all that's really left. And
because they didn't come over this time. They were over doing other things because Michael was with Jackson and Jason was with the kids watching football. I would say we're over because there've been more quarters. The Quartermains have been kind of working together a little bit. So, but
yeah, but especially because Sam's excuse was, they wanted to watch football, so I didn't want to subject you guys to that. Like, I think Ned and Dylan would have liked to watch some football, totally. So you could have done that.
Could put all the boys together.
Yeah.
The Quartermain men together. But again, I was happy to see them all together, and it's kind of some traditions to me should, like the Horton tree ornaments. It should always, it certainly should never change. I'm sorry. I'm a tradition person, and the pizza should always happen at some point. Always.
But do you also need the line, first we sing, then we eat?
Yeah.
I feel like I miss somebody saying that.
Oh, I like that. I like it. I like when they sing it. So I love it. I'm a sucker. I'm a sap. Yep. I love it. To me, it's tradition. They've been doing it for, 20 years. It's 1996 or whatever. Oh, they said 94.
94, yeah.
94.
So Since then, there's been a curse placed upon us.
Yes, it has to be. And like I said, Tracy's cheerleader to make sure the traditional cues are. That is bull. Jason should have been there. Well, wasn't there. We agreed Jason should have been there, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, Jason, and at least Michael should have dropped by. I like that he was there with Jackson family, because that made sense for him to be,
be there for his mother, yeah. Of course, especially. That made sense. Like, Lucy has to always be in her underwear at the nursery. Yeah, certain things should always go down, no matter, just, you know. And, you know, Jack always calls Victor, you know, the mustache. And yes. Like, there's just certain things that always, on soap, should always stay the same. that's how I look at it. So, yes.
Now, one quarter man that did have a little bit of turkey, of a sense, was our boy Dylan. Got a little bit of a turkey burger.
Him and Kiki. Yeah. Anytime they're together, I'm happy. So
yeah, they're so cute together.
They're very cute together. Yeah. I like them together. So anytime there's a chance they have some scenes together, makes me happy.
Yeah, it's. I'm just looking forward to now. They finally at least seem to kind of turn the corner about, like, hey, let's try to come up with many ways to keep them apart.
Yes. Stop doing that, folks. Put them together.
Yes.
It could be a slow build. That's fine. But just have them together. They have chemistry. We know they like each other. It was not her fault that homeboy died or whatever. Even though, make them work together.
Man, but she still, we know the viewers that it wasn't that her fault. But man, she just.
She's taking it on.
She takes it solely on her shoulders. Like, me and Dylan together, and that spun him off into all this, like, dial it back.
Yes. Like, all right. But then again, as a young person, I would think that's what young people do sometimes. Everything is very dramatic and big. So, and somebody died. I mean, somebody did die, or what we think.
Died. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I put it in air quotes because on podcasts. Aaron, they died. But yeah, they need to keep Dylan and Kiki together, Tommy. I agree.
As we're talking about Kiki and her side of the family, let's just talk a little bit about young baby Avery. Man,
she's so cute. Oh my God, she's so cute. And she's talking. I'm like, oh my God. Cute baby. That's all I got to say. She's cute. I'm all in. She's cute.
Yeah, I love that little Avery. I was like, that was the cutest scene, especially just with her and Kiki. Yeah. Like, aw.
Even her and I know you guys would get flack for Ava too, but it was cute the three of them together were talking. It was kind of cute. And then when Julian came, it was kind of, I mean, it's an effed up situation. Yes, I totally agree. The Jeromes are all effed up. But I kind of like them as a faction family.
Yeah, I really like that Ava's like, no, Julian, stay. You know, she really was trying. You know, she goes, it's great I have all my girls, but, you know, you're my brother, and I don't want you to be alone. Like, that's the thing, is Ava does have some redeeming qualities other than being delightful.
Yes, she does. Delightful.
But, I mean, you know, what was the faking of losing the wishbone battle to Avery? Oh, yeah. Come on, you got to teach that kid early. It's like life is full of disappointment.
Okay, well, first of all, those wishbones were huge. Like, what kind of turkeys were they doing? Were they using 80-pound turkeys? That wishbone was like this. It was like huge. Like, geez, I want to break one of those and get a good wish. Like, I had little game hands. They're like little tiny ones.
Did you battle it out over the wish?
I lost. None of my dreams are coming true. Everything's just over. It's all over for me.
You're getting to work with us every Sunday.
So my dreams didn't come true. Oh, what happened? Just kidding. Well. My first joke.
Ooh, see my Burbank guys, flappers.
Flappers. Yep. I think I'll be flapping in the wind, all right. Yes, I'm sure. Yes.
If you follow my lead.
Right, exactly. #scene stealer. She was really cute. That little actress was working it out. So yes.
And then we see Ava kind of freaking out because, but Sonny's not in jail. He's home. Uh-oh. What? And that leads us into this really interesting dynamic between Ava, Scotty, and Lucy.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
And I'm curious to see where Scotty's true allegiance in this situation is.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much. Whoever said, let's bring on Lynn Herring, because Lynn Herring has said famously in magazines, I don't want to come back and just dawdle around. I want to come back for a storyline. They got her in the storyline.
Yeah.
They got her.
But I want to see more of it. Don't just do it once every week or so.
Well, they stepped together. As Lucy and Scott stepped together.
Yeah, but then if this is like the last we see her for like a week or a week and a half. Well,
I'm
not either.
But I'm being
cautiously
kind of
optimistic.
Yes. But I'm very excited about that. And the fact that that Scotty and Ava have chemistry in the sense of like they're friends, but like, who is he working? I mean, and Lucy's not stupid. She's like, yeah, okay, I'm like, So it's going to be very interesting to see how this works out. I'm totally excited.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're all powerhouse, like, funny, goofy actors. So that's only can fun come from the three of them together. And, yeah, it's like, yeah, what is Scotty to do?
I love it. I'm happy with the storyline.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to see Lucy and Scotty's connection where they know the worst of each other, and yet they're still drawn. So even though I know you're going to be, all you want is these pills. I'm still going to sleep with you. We're still going to have some fun. But I also know that I'm trying to cover my butt as well to make sure you don't get these pills.
Yes. And they mentioned their past and Serena. Yeah. They never mentioned Christina, though. They mentioned Serena.
I think it's because wasn't Christina mostly just on Port Charles?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's maybe why, even though they still own that. But I was like, yeah. I don't remember her really being on GH.
No, she wasn't.
Okay. So I guess they just forget that she exists. Monique, we already have a Christina.
Monique Thornton says, I'm concerned about Avery. They sore-ass Michael when the twins start saying Billy Warlock's name in scenes. They sore-ass Emma when the twins start speaking Spanish. Now Avery's talking, uh-oh. Now, I don't mind them. So, I mean, they got little Brooklyn, you know, my girl, Brooklyn Ray, sells her. She's good as Emma. But, yeah, I understand what you mean. So, I guess we'll see what happens.
Did you watch Brooklyn's movie Homestead with Michael Rady?
Yes, yep. And I love Michael Rady. He's so cute.
I know. He's so wonderful.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you know him, of course. Yeah. Yes. Someone alerted me to it. I was like, oh, okay, I'll tune in. It's my girl. I'll tune in. So, yeah, it was
great. And Jeff Branson was in it, too.
Yes, which I love him, of course,
bring
for all my
back
children.
Bring him to Lion Arm.
Yeah, and Y&R. Mm-hmm. He did both of those. I'd say all my children, but both of those. One baby's name is Ava. I'm surprised that she doesn't answer when they say Ava. Oh, one baby's name is Ava in real life.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that is funny. She's a true, true professional.
That's right. Look at that.
However old she is. I don't know, a few months or however months or as old she is. Good.
So for you, which way do you want Scotty to be leaning? Do you want him to be leaning towards Ava? Do you want him to be leaning towards Lucy?
Lucy.
Because you're a tradition man.
Yeah, tradition man.
Lucy and Scott.
You can't screw over Lucy. Come on. We're supposed to work together to blackmail Ava. That's what he said. Like, hello.
But it feels like right now, at least if Scotty's not out for himself, I mean, he seems like he's more in line with Ava. I mean, he took the pills.
He did. So I hope it doesn't work for you.
I was bummed that, because I thought for sure when Lucy left the scene, and Scotty's just looking at the safe. I thought for sure it was just a test that she was going to come out in just a couple minutes and like bust Scotty trying to like dial in all those combinations. Yes. And we didn't see that scene. I was like, wait a second, why didn't we see her try to bust him?
I didn't see that either. I know. I agree.
So for him, all of a sudden, I figured out the code and I swapped the pills.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really? You sure? Because I think Lucy would not be that stupid.
Yeah, she
would. We'll see.
Do you think that Scotty's telling the truth? That maybe he didn't.
I don't know. That's what's so great about it. I love this. I mean, because he's not a moral character, so.
No.
None of them are. So it's kind of like.
He's our Saul Goodman, and I love that.
Exactly. And he can do whatever he wants, I'm sure. So.
I don't know if I need to see Scotty makeout scenes, though. I don't know if I need to see that part.
Yeah, you know.
He's got that Paul Hornsby kind of vibe for going in. It's like.
Oh, the Paul is right.
Richard Berge was so
That's so funny. I love it.
Our other big character who we're uncertain about her motivations, Nell.
God.
Yes, James cannot get enough of Nell. Finally, she starts kind of showing a lot. Well, we don't know exactly what her true intentions are, but very unsettled talking to Kiki. So, when was the last time that they ever had a disagreement? And what was it about exactly? Jeez Louise. All right, then dial it back.
She was asking all kinds of stuff. You were married how many times? What happened? What? They're like, what happened? Oh, yeah, I got about to get back together, and this happened then. And I'm like, oh, she's getting all information. Okay, so I like the actress, and I was liking the character. I don't know if I like the direction they're taking her. I'm going to hold out to see if there's a big payoff. Like, if her father is somebody really good, then I will hold out. But if it's just another one of those, like, here's Carly getting her come up in, so to speak, by what she did to Bobby. I don't think that's really necessary to do that. That's one way to go, I guess. But I'm hoping that it leads to a bigger... Because I saw the previews where she's in bed with Sonny. They showed the previews where she's in bed with Sonny. I don't know if they slept together or not, but he looks over. She's like, what? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. So they're leading that direction. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and all the chat seems to be speculating, like Cheryl Hawk talking about she's the Carly Redux. It's very similar. But yeah, as I say, there better be a payoff as to who her parents are.
Yes.
And, you know, what's the deal with Jax and the stealing the kidney? And, you know, how did he know? Because I care more about that.
Yeah, because the whole point is that... when Carly came out, we knew she was Bobby's daughter. Yeah. And so that made the stakes higher.
Yes.
Which went after Tony and all that. So we need to find out I just think Nella's after revenge. She wants to take down Jax. So, yeah. So if it pays off where it's something that Jax is something to her, I mean, I'm down. I'm ready. I'm ready to have that. But right now, I'm still liking the character and going that direction. But I'm waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, I find it frustrating because it seems like, again, another thing that GH seems to go to well a lot is they'll introduce new characters or new storyline. And not let the characters or the audience know what's going on. I feel like there's so much more benefit for many of the times to let the audience know what the stakes are, mm-hmm. and not have the characters can be clueless, but at least we get more invested in, like, oh my gosh, oh, they're going to find out. Oh, they're not going to find out. What's going to happen? If we know at least what their agenda is. And not knowing it, just the way they drag it out just gets a little frustrating after a while.
And a lot of times I feel that we don't know because they don't know. And that's the issue. Because just like when Carly was revealed as to who she was, we all knew. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that rose the stakes. And we knew because they had planned this. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, like with the hospital killer storyline, we didn't know because they didn't know in the beginning. And it's kind of frustrating. And it's just like, okay, well, I thought Nell was going to have this cool backstory. And now we're getting to a point where you're dragging it out. So what is this?
Well, they're like, they're saying, so Cheryl, they said, Nell, maybe it's Carly's daughter.
Well, the thing with Michael would be really weird. And Morgan kissed her, too.
Well, that's true. Sorry, Cheryl. They did kiss.
Yeah.
They did kiss. But, I mean, is she Jerry's daughter? That's the direction I'm going.
Yeah, Jerry's daughter would be interesting, too.
Yes, completely. And would maybe the match thing would match up because they're cut, Jocelyn and her cousins.
Yeah.
Logical.
Yeah, but it's just curious because I feel like that would be a child that Jerry just turned over to other people to raise. Because there's no way that Jerry raised her.
Yeah, you know that not at all.
Yeah.
So, I'm all about anything with do with Jerry Jackson, Sebastian Roche coming back, I'm all in.
Yeah.
So if that's the payoff or something, someone mentioned Karpov, someone mentioned other people. People were mentioning other prominent villains in the past. I'll take any of them. If they're all against Sunny and Carly, I'm in. I mean, that's be good.
But the frustrating thing about this is that because Jax is leaving the show again,
I think Mondays is apparently. But,
they've been working him, not giving points. They've been working him this week.
Yeah, but I feel like to have all this stuff starting to come in and start activating now, story wise, like to not have him on the canvas.
Well, hopefully they'll bring him back. Maybe they'll bring him back.
I hope so.
I'm thinking positive this week. I don't know why, but I'm thinking positive this week.
Yeah, and Cheryl Hawk does say that she quickly dismissed both Michael and Morgan, so maybe she knows she's related to him, but still.
Oh, Michael kissed her. Yeah. Wasn't quickly same with Morgan. What if she's Faison's daughter? Well, I saw that's Brett.
Yeah, we already have Brett.
The Bridge. Bring her back. I was bringing her back, of course. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of insulting that they seem to throw plots together on a game plan. Makes me think of Claire Levine days and all the details and all the details she put start to finish. I know I love when even Bob Guzin. Sometimes they had things that would go. They would have it just down.
It was clear that they had a plan in motion. That's what I always love because that's why I love certain shows like Chuck where it was clear that they had this whole thing mapped out as opposed to Lost where they were just messing with us. I promise not to mention that ever again.
Yes, I know. And I heard many of you guys. I've not watched it yet, so don't tell me any spoilers. I have not watched Gilmore Girls yet, but the original thing was the original producers and creators had the show already finished with the last four words, so the whole show was going to lead to those last four words, and they were actually they left the season before they were supposed to, but now apparently they say those four words, so I don't know if they are anything, so I don't know.
But knowing that those last four words are, do you feel like your investment in what those four words are going to be is so high that could anything that they say in those last four words really deliver on your expectations?
Possibly, or make me upset because I'm like, that's the four words you chose.
I feel like when you announced your ending so soon, like I feel like it sets up so many expectations of the audience. No matter what you do, I feel like it's always going to let down pretty much everybody in that audience because they've built it up so high.
It depends. I think it depends on your personality. Some people like to know there's a, especially on complicated shows, they want to know there's an ending. That's why people are so torn about Lost because it was like, they just throw this together. They know what's going on. Because I heard them say it was going to be 5 years. Six seasons, and they were like, but what, you know, then third season three, but he hated it. So, like, some people like that. Some people actually like to know what's going to happen kind of ahead.
I don't mind.
And some folks don't like it at all.
I'm actually, because certainly the way Lost went out, it was like once they knew they had an ending in place, like, I didn't need to know what the ending was, but it's just that they announced it. Certainly, you felt like the storyline started taking off. But I feel like Gilmore Girls, if they say, like, you know, we got those final four words, and they've been talked about for so long, what these final four words are, I feel like it sets up such a huge expectation in what the audience is going to expect out of those four words.
It's going to be, I love James Lott. My God, it means everything to me.
They love your dad.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's my father. Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry.
Why can't everything just be like Breaking Bad, where they knew what was going to happen, and they built up this awesome show and ended it on time? Like, why can't everything be Breaking Bad?
To take a sidebar for a second here, you mentioned one of the writing heads of the writing, Claire Levine. Mm-hmm. She passed away recently.
Yes, she did, you guys. So somebody brought up. Yes, she did pass away. Rest in peace to her. That's funny. She just passed away.
Yeah. So as a historian of the show, what did you enjoy most about the Claire Levine era?
It just felt like it was plotted out, and it just really, like some people were saying here, it just really felt like when you watch the story, you could see kind of where it was going, but then there were twists thrown in like it was supposed to be, and there were cliffhangers that were thrown in, but it just felt like you were on a path. And if you want to tune in every day, you want to tune in to something where you feel like you're on a journey with them. And it didn't feel so loose. It didn't feel so like, well, they're throwing the salt in today, and tomorrow I'm throwing the pepper, and I'm throwing the tomatoes. It was like, it just felt like you're being told you're making lasagna, so you know all the steps to make the lasagna. And it's like all the storylines are very well constructed. It's like they're just constructed really well, and they went to where they're supposed to go.
And how much do you think of that as like a process of the time when you, back in the 90s?
Yeah, back in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, when you had so many other soaps on there. So, I mean, you had to really work hard to get people watching you. Now, do you think that it's just a product of like there's so few soaps left that people are just, they don't feel, I don't know, it's like storylines can be just more loosey-goosey and they can kind of just play on the fly? What do you think the difference is between now and then, story-wise?
Well, the problem is now we have this whole thing of instant gratification, short attention span, and so the soaps are having to teeter between that. Because some soaps, like, you know, Restless for Years got in trouble for taking too long for storytelling. They were notoriously known for, like, a story going on for 10 years. I mean, the whole Drusilla, Neil, he slept with Malcolm. They went on for years. Like, literally for years. But nowadays, it's kind of like, we have to go fast, we have to save money. But also, you don't want to lose the integrity of soap telling. We don't mind soaps unfolding at a certain pace. But that's the going back and forth. You're just not sure what does the audience want. Do they want to go fast, or do they want to go slower? So like that's the problem with the writers, to go, well, we can go fast sometimes, give you great stuff resolved by that Friday, the next Friday, or is that too fast? Then we want to stretch things out for maybe two or three Fridays. Is that too slow? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of what I think they have a hard job. I wouldn't want to be a writer today.
No, it's true. That sweet spot of pacing where that really hits the audience and keeps them satisfied, I would imagine would be incredibly challenging. Because I feel like right now, GH definitely defaults to just really slow burns on the reels.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And I agree with Candace Mack. Claire brought class to the show. I agree with that. And I think she created half the current characters on the show, too. So yeah, I think so. But it's a weird period these days because everything's so quick. And you go too fast. Days of Our Lives went too fast one month, and we're all just like, it ruined the show almost because it went so fast. It was like Bo's back now; he's dead. Hope's with somebody else. Like it all happened within like three. And the soap world was like 3 days is happening. Even though it was like 2 weeks, it was 3 days. So I'm just to get over Bo, and she's with somebody else, and it's like, but only happened like it was just too fast. It was too fast.
Yeah, and I will say some of the stuff that GH has done well is the friendship romances, like Finn and Hayden and Liz and Franco. Those slow burns were great, but now we're looking for the payoff, and it's still, I mean, at least with Frizz, we sort of have something right now.
Yes.
But yeah, with Hayden and Finn, we're like, why did they throw this wrench? The slow burn was working, now we're looking for the payoff.
Yeah.
How long
a storyline shouldn't be a problem if they keep it interesting. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine if it's interesting, but I know but some people out there still get upset if it takes too long, whether it is or not. They want it fast. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe part of it would be, because it does bother me in GH. I feel like they take so long. And just to go back to what I was talking about earlier, I think maybe part of it, if I knew what people's agendas were, at least we'd be willing to give them a little bit more leeway in how long they take to do some revelations.
I understand that.
Because otherwise I feel like, man, why are we watching this? What is happening?
The powers that be only care about ratings, therefore they are down to write the payoff quicker, which that happens sometimes too. I know sometimes it depends on sweeps and things like that. I know there's all kinds of factors in there, but it'd be hard to be a writer right now. And I mean, you have to write some really good. I mean, nowadays everything's been done just about on soaps.
Yeah.
Also, so you write something really interesting. I mean, it can be done. There are good soap writers out there, and we know it can be done. So. Look, I mean, they took over a year with the Jason reveal, Candace Mack said, which, you know, you love that length of time.
Yeah, that was really dragged out. But I tell you, that was back when Jason Doe.
I like John Doe.
John Doe was more interesting.
John Doe was great.
Yeah. So I, in some sense, even though it was stretched out, at least he was more interesting to watch.
I agree. That one, I totally agree with that.
And I think like part of that, even though it was dragged out, we knew who he was. It wasn't a question like, who is this guy supposed to be? We all knew that he was Jason Quartermain or Jason Morrigan. So we're just waiting for the rest of the cast to get that revelation, but at least we were in on it.
And I mentioned on here, they made Hayden and Liz sisters for what reason?
Well, it seemed, man, I feel like, I think it's a nice little twist, everything, but I also feel like, man, if you're going to do something like that, it always seemed to me, if you're going to make that kind of twist, that's going to lead you to seeing more of the Weber family.
They need to throw them together. They need to throw them together more and make the conflict and make something happen out of those two. Because, I mean, relationships are not just, you know, relationships. It's also family relationships. Everything needs to be built, and I think they need to build that a little more. They have good chemistry together, the two sisters, two girls.
And it's fun to watch them in scene. So that's why, you know, that's another thing where, you know, it was revealed and we were excited, but there's been no payoff,
I kind of miss that where they bring in, I guess the last time they really did it was with the Jeromes, where they brought everybody in. But you miss that kind of where they bring in one person that's just a precursor to more of the family coming on canvas. And so if you're going to make a revelation like that, it kind of, you set up the sort of expectation with the audience like, ooh, that means we're going to see more of the Webbers.
Yeah.
Cool, let's get them back on canvas. That'd be cool to see them back in action again.
Yeah.
And we don't. So that's kind of disappointing.
Okay.
What is next? I guess we'll talk a little bit about Carly and Jax. I mean, the week started off with, Sonny and Carly, you can see why they're so great together, because in times of despair, they will try to hook up with whoever's nearest to them.
Yep.
I loved it. I thought, why not kiss some Ingo Rademach, I mean some Jax. Sure, why not? But I'm glad they didn't sleep together.
Yes. Yeah, I like that Jax was the one to say something and stop it. He's like, because I love Jax and Carly together.
Me too.
This is Laura Wright's Carly's best relationship is Jax. Yeah. So I'm glad that they didn't ruin them by having them hop into bed. But at the same time, let's get Jax back full time. Screw Sonny.
Yes. Now, do you agree with what Mike said? Michael said to Nell, it's like, you know, they always said that my mom and Jax were better as friends, and her and Sonny or the better, like, romantic life partners. Like, really?
Yeah.
I was like, Carly and Jack's better.
Yeah.
I know, it's fine. It's, well, this is just this was the great writing back in the day. They made us really fall for Carly and Jack's. I mean, it really did work. He didn't take her shit. Anyway, he knows Carly. He knows how to, I mean, Sonny knows Carly, too, but, like, Jax knows her, too, and won't put up with her. And he's more, of course, the good guy. Who like would always like kind of say, "You're going too far, stop it." Like he's always trying to stop her, like he did again. And I loved it. I loved it. I just thought this is great. I love that they were in scenes together. I'm glad that he stayed with her. I'm glad Jocelyn was on. I'm just so glad that they had a little family moment. What he said when he was saying they're giving thanks and stuff, it got me teary eyed. I totally was like, I loved it and I liked it. I say more Ingo Rademacher, I will take it.
But if we're lucky enough to get him back on the campus full time, would you want them to try to
set up
the Jax Carly Sonny triangle again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was tweeted, let me see who it was so I can give you proper credit, because there is a rumor that my least favorite character,
Brenda,
is coming back, because she was tweeting some stuff. Oh.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, you know, that's why I was saying it's like Jax may be coming back. Yeah. Allie Huntsmore at Rory's ex Logan. That's a Gilmore Girls reference.
It is. Logan,
said a rumor is Brenda is coming back to GH. She can hear me rant already. And yeah, as I say, I am all for Brenda coming back if she ushers Sonny away, or like there's something to do with that to keep Carly away from him. Because I like Carly without Sonny.
Yeah, you do. I'm a huge Carly fan, so I don't care who she's with. I'll take either one. But I almost kind of agree with the whole thing. Is that Carly and Sonny have been together so many times, they can't really break up fully. This can't at this point. I mean, at this point, it gets ridiculous. They kind of have to be together. Even on, like, Born to Live, they put Clint and Vicky together at the end. Like, fine. It's like, I mean, there's some people just seem like they're meant to be together. At the end, they had to have to be together. It's like, just to keep breaking them up, Victor and Nikki, I mean, they have to be together at some point. I mean.
But then it also feels like then for Carly to have such a moral stand right now about why she does not want to be involved, have Sonny kind of a part of her life because of all the dangers of his job and his profession, mm-hmm. what that does to her family. For her then to backpedal and say, like, all right, you know, I'll be with you still. Like, feel like then she's backing away from what she stood for.
But I feel like that's the character of Carly on some level, too. I mean, she gets a little hypocritical sometimes. I mean, like, she does whatever she wants. And so for me, her being upset right now totally makes sense. Obviously, she lost her son. Like the stakes were really high. She lost her son. The price she paid was she lost her son. And kind of she feels like it's her fault for like going back to that.
Yeah.
Because she knew what happened. So it's kind of like that to me is realistic. It's kind of like I lost my son. I can't do it. But she does love Sonny.
Yeah, but to me, after Michael got shot in the head, they had slept together, but then she was away from Sonny for quite some time and with Jax. That's what was some of the best Carly years. So I get her sort of forgetting about that with Michael being okay and all this, getting back into it. But after the thing with Morgan, it's like, okay, kid number two is injured and or dead, quote unquote. Okay, so this is probably the worst idea ever to go back to Sonny. And it would just make me not respect Carly. That's why I was like, okay, I hate Brenda, and I'm glad that a lot of you do, too. Yeah, people here,
it's like back and forth. Some people are like, no. Some people are like, yes. I mean, they're all like,
But if she keeps Carly and Sonny apart, I guess I could deal with it.
I guess I felt like it's interesting with Carly, like Carly and Sonny, if you take them apart, and you have Carly, she's together with Jack, she's been with Franco. I feel like separated from Sonny, she still has a lot of great chemistry with a lot of other characters
She does.
But then I feel like you take Sonny away from Carly, and then other than Brenda, I've never really seen anybody that I've really been like, yes, I'm glad that Sonny's went with.
No, I liked Kate and Connie. Yeah. I loved them. Yeah. I was a huge Connie Kate fan, so I did like them together.
See, like with Laura Wright's Carly, it's just not the same to me. It's Sarah Joy Brown and Maurice Bernard. That's why I was happy for Claudia, because they had such good chemistry. But to me, Laura Wright just with Ingo is so much better. And that's why it's hard for me to see her with Sonny.
Because I know we're getting towards the end. We got to mention the scene that made me really cry a little bit. Ooh. And that was Laura and Sonny. I love history, bringing them together. Yes, finally. She lost a child. He lost a child. They've been friends for years. And they finally, and of course on Thanksgiving, because I felt that feeling, on Thanksgiving, they would come together because she said, you would understand exactly what I'm going through. I loved that whole scene.
It was a good use of history, except for one major thing they forgot about. Remember that time that Lucky died, quote unquote, in the fire? Yes. That was some of my favorite Jeannie Francis stuff, was her beating on Sonny and Jason. This is your fault. My son is dead because of you. That's the thing. It's like, I'm sorry. I just remember that Laura, who I like better. I mean, I love Laura right now, but the Sonny thing, I was like, but yeah, remember that time you thought Lucky was dead because of them?
It was about Nicholas, because Lucky's alive.
Yeah, but what does Sonny have to do with Nicholas?
Because it was nice to see, I mean, at least, you know, give Jeannie Francis something else to do. Yes. And it's always interesting to see the two of them together. Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking, like, that's the only person in Port Charles you could have reached out on a day like this. What about Bobby? Bobby knows what it's like to lose a child right there through tragedy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and they certainly have a closer connection than her and Sonny do.
That's true, too. Yeah. Well, Laura and Bobby have always had, like, this kind of... Because remember, they were adversaries for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they kind of go back. They always go back and forth. But Luke was their binding... Oh, I got to sneeze. Was their binding person. And I always love to see more Bobby. Bobby should have been there for Thanksgiving and should have been there for the wedding.
That was odd also.
But I don't know. For me, I like Laura. I like seeing Maurice Bernard and Jeannie Francis. To me, it's just like using characters that have been around a long time. You have a history. I like when they use them. I'm a fan of that. I like when they use them.
No, I love that too, and that's why I'd love to see Lucy and Scotty be on the canvas for a lot of this storyline that just seems that they're trying to set up.
Oh yeah, Sonny's sister is married to Nicholas. Well, and Jax is married to Sonny's sister also. So they're both married to Courtney. Yeah. I wasn't a Courtney fan, first of all.
Kung Fu Barbie.
I like whatever. But yeah. It did make her interesting who she was married to made her interesting to me. By herself, I didn't really care for her so much. But when she was married to certain people, I was like, oh, she's interesting. I wasn't a big fan of I like Rick better, the brother. I didn't care for Courtney.
Yeah, I love Rick. Oh.
And where's he, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Lucretia, I know that we've mentioned Brenda quite a bit. I don't know if I've ever known your initial, why you are not a huge Brenda fan.
I think Brenda is literally the most annoying character. And that's pretty hard considering this show did have Courtney and did have Nurse Nadine, I think it was.
Nadine, yes.
Claire Coffey, love you on Grimm, but your character on GH was pretty annoying. But yeah, that's the thing is Brenda is just one of those people that I just find utterly useless. I can't think of any scenes where I liked Brenda or rooted for her at all just because she was one of those women that was all about Sonny, all about her men, always screwing over Jax, who I always thought was better than Sonny. Yes. And, there was no, with Carly, there are redeeming parts about Carly. With Brenda, she's not, I mean, they gave her that kid at the end, but it was just like, yeah, Brenda wasn't a mom, except for that, you know, awful storyline.
Yeah.
That destroyed Adrienne Barbeau.
I know, Adrienne Barbeau, I'm still glad she was on this whole story. No, they did not kill, there's just been no mention of Sonny's dad.
Yeah.
Roger Hale, I think he's retired. I think he's not, I don't think he's
yeah, that may be.
Yeah, I think he's retired.
Mike Corbin, yeah.
Yeah, I played Mike Corbin, but they have it. Brenda is a little useless, always screwing Carly's men.
Exactly. And that's my thing, is what purpose does Brenda serve?
Well, see, my thing is, it reminded me of, all my children reminded me of Erica and Brooke. It seemed like Brooke always got Erica's leftovers. It was all, and so to me, that was the purpose. It was like, Erica was always annoyed by Brooke getting Tom and Trav, all these people. And so I think that's what Brenda was kind of like. They liked the same guys. They're in the same orbits.
But Brooke was cool, and so was Erica. The difference is Brenda, and that was the thing, is Brenda was always played as just a spoiled brat, like, just an...
Oh my God, Sarah sees like, Lucretia, I hate how you dislike Sonny, but I love how you dislike Brenda. I hate Brenda.
Yeah.
So you see, win. Lucretia wins.
Exactly, because I'm just like, what what about Brenda was likable? And I just can't ever find anything.
She was friends with Robin.
Yeah, that was literally the only time she wasn't annoying.
Yes,
is the scenes with Robin I could deal with.
What about Lois when they were doing, you know?
Oh, and Lois, yes. L&B Records.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I also got a shout out with a gold record from
Yes.
Yes. Is the only gold record.
That's so had to make that funny. I love that. And Rena Sofer's doing great work on Bold and Beautiful. You want to watch her? She's doing great work right now. So, anyway.
Oh, poor Lois.
Poor Lois.
I know.
Wish it'd be great to have her back on the show.
And Brooklyn.
Oh, yes.
I liked the character of Brooklyn. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
I would hope that if they could finally just lock Wally Kurth into a contract for GH, they would start bringing back more of that.
Because he's still on GHR Lives, too. He's doing work over there also. He's in a major storyline over there right now. So he's doing both. So, and neither soap will take him on full time.
So in terms of storyline importance, which, I mean, because he's not doing that much on GH. But so is the storyline
he's doing more on Days? He's doing more on Days.
Oh, man. Come on, GH.
I know. He left GH because Days offered him a contract. They took him off contract, which I don't understand why.
Yeah.
The storylines were endless there. Right now, he's in the middle of a storyline that's really big. But then he brought back on GH Hospital. I'm like, well, then bring him back. Like, just give him a contract. He's so good. Give him a contract.
Yes. If you're going to bring back Ingo, too, that's somebody else between Julian, Ingo, and Ned doing corporate stuff. Come on.
And
that's
Ned way could be there for Alexis. Yeah. I mean, you know, and be there for Jack. I mean, just come on.
Olivia. Like, because to me. His relationship with Olivia is much like his relationship with Lois, and I like that.
Yes,
I want to see more of that. They're cute.
Yes.
Let's talk about Olivia when she goes to visit Carly and then sees Jax and just all of a sudden is like throwing shade.
Yes,
like,
she was.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll leave you guys alone.
She's like, She's like, okay. She's like, see you later. But I thought you'd be alone. I thought you'd be gone by now. She's like, where? At Sonny's. She's like, where? Like, where?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys, that's it. The show's over.
That's it. Bye. We did it, guys.
We did it today. We're so glad you guys fought through any sound issues. Apparently, you started sounding better.
Yeah.
Just not me. So hopefully, I'll resolve the other two soaps shows that come up next. But next week, they will be here. I will not be here. I'll be at the Hardy's Family Reunion in Vancouver, Canada.
Ooh.
With 500 people who watch When Calls the Heart on Hallmark Channel. So me and Marissa Serafini are doing that. So excited. But I'll be back the following week after that. So I'm really excited.
Look at that.
I know.
Go get yourself some poutine.
I know. I want to try it. I want to try it. I've never been to Canada. It's my first time going to Canada. I've never been. I'm very excited. Yes, Candace Mack, we were saying how it's only 4 quarter mains left, basically, and that's it.
Yeah.
It was sad for us, too. We thought it was kind of sad, too. Frank, tell them where they can find you on all social media platforms.
You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. That's it. It's pretty uneventful, guys.
Look at you.
Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one, and all over the ABTV DC universe this week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be doing a wrap-up episode at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the crossover, and you'll see me on Legends as usual without this guy. Frank's going away with the aliens.
That's right. I've been taken out of the universe, guys.
Yeah.
And you guys, check out my web series, The Really Quick James Lott Jr. Show. It's a lot of fun. I have a new episode coming out tomorrow. It's always Mondays and Thursdays. Go to my web channel, Super Organizer. Also, I have a speaker page now, JLJ Media. Go there. I have my podcast on there. Check that out. And I'm James Lott Jr. all over the universe. Go to our Facebook page, GH Report. We see you guys next time.
We'll never make 2,000, guys. Ever. Ever.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.